entitle our time together, The Year of Hope. I hear a little bit of ringing. I don't know if it's from here.
Huh?
Unplug this right here. This one? No. No. It's somewhere in this jazz right here. Oh, beautiful. Thank you. God bless y'all. God is good, amen. We're going to be hanging out first day, first Sunday of the new year for us in the book of Isaiah, the Old Testament. I'm not intended to go there, but I really sense this is where the Lord wanted us to go. Isaiah chapter 35. I want to begin our time this year, 2025, on a positive note. The year began on a negative note when that maniac drove into Bourbon Street in New Orleans and jumped out of his truck after running over some people and started shooting, killing 14 and leaving a whole bunch of others injured. And that was just one headline that sticks to us, right? I'm sure all across the nation there were other headlines as well of just bad things happening. And I feel like because of all the negative stuff that happens around us, it's like affecting us. It's like we're victims in a world that's gone wrong. And we need God's help. I feel like we need God's intervention. The other day, Doreen and I saw something we've never seen before. We're driving one of the big roads here in town, and in the distance we see a couple of emergency lights coming our way in the opposite direction. It was a couple of police cruisers. They were gunning it down past us, and then past us comes an ambulance, also with its lights on, but it's kind of tracking kind of slowly. And what was going on is that the police cruisers went to the major intersection to stop traffic, so they cleared the way for the ambulance to be able to get to the hospital. Never seen that before. I've seen it in funerals, but not for them to clear the way for an ambulance. And I thought about, you know, if I could picture ourselves in this world, you know, sometimes we get so emotionally drained and we get psychologically and emotionally messed up because of things that happen. It's like we're in this spiritual ambulance and we need God to clear our way towards Him. And I think Isaiah chapter 35 does that. This is God's intervention. This is sort of kind of God's ER. Now, Isaiah 35 is sort of kind of displaced in the narrative of Isaiah. It's like a little short chapter, right, that talks about the coming of the Lord and the good times. But this is sort of kind of in a weird spot, because when you're reading Isaiah, you read that there's some bad things happening to the people of Israel. This guy, King Sennacherib of Assyria, is devastating the land and is ready to attack Jerusalem and devastate Jerusalem. So if you were to take a left turn here and go back two chapters to chapter 33, Isaiah says this about where they lived at the time when he was writing this thing. Though the Lord, he says in chapter 33, verses 5, 7, and 8, though the Lord is very great and lives in heaven, he will make Jerusalem his home of justice and righteousness. It's going to happen one day. God is going to make his home in Jerusalem. It's going to be an awesome time. Verse 7, but now, in their present time, when Isaiah's writing this stuff, he says, but now, your brave warriors weep. Kind of odd, right? For brave warriors, that warriors run. into the smoke when everyone else is running away from it. But here he says, tough times are so bad. You're brave warriors weeping public. You're ambassadors of peace, crying bitter disappointment. Verse 8. Your roads are deserted. No one travels them anymore. The Assyrians have broken their peace treaty and care nothing for the promises they made before witnesses. They have no respect for anyone. And I think about our present situation, 2025. I mean, people angry around us. We don't know who's going to do what. At times, you always got to keep your eyes open. You always got to have eyes in the back of your head, right? You go to Walmart, you're always checking around to see who's around. There's anger and there's hate and there's violence. And it's easy to break down emotionally and wonder, and I'm sure sometimes cry, is there any hope? And the good news is that there is hope. Now here's good news. Here's good news for your notes. I want you to write this down in your notes. I'm going to provide you the words that are in the blanks for you to write on the blanks in your notes, okay? Here's good news. Jesus Christ has promised to return for his church. Can I hear an amen? Jesus Christ has promised to return for his church. Also, the next blank in your notes. During the rapture of the church, which is when Jesus Christ returns, during the rapture of the church, Christians will be taken up straight to heaven. So the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ already came one time, but he promised he was going to come back again. And the Bible says that when he comes back, we, the Christians who are living amidst this culture, are going to hear a trumpet sound. That's what the Bible says. We're going to be walking around, and you're going to hear a trumpet sound. It's going to be weird. It's going to be weird. You know, my daughter Sarah's in New Orleans right now. She's hearing a lot of trumpet sounding over there in the jazz and the Dixieland. But it's going to be different. You and I are going to be somewhere doing whatever, even sleeping, and you're going to hear a trumpet sound. That's what the Bible says. And that trumpet is announcing that Jesus Christ is returning back from heaven to earth. But the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that Jesus is going to come only halfway, and he's going to wait in midair for the dead in Christ to raise back from the dead. It's called the resurrection of the dead. So when Jesus comes down from heaven, he's going to stop in midair up in the sky, and the dead who are, people who are buried and dead, and they love Jesus before they died, they're going to resurrect from the dead. Their bodies are going to come together again. Don't know how it's going to happen, but God can do whatever he wants. Their bodies are going to come back together again. Their spirits are going to reunite with their bodies. And then those of us who are still alive, while all this jazz is going on, we're going to take off to the sky in a hurry. Boom! We're going to be gone from here to there. And there we will always be with the Lord. That's what the Bible says. So we're going to meet our friends and our loved ones, and we're going to meet Jesus up there. And it's going to be an amazing time. And listen, all this stuff sounds sci-fi, right? All this stuff sounds like Star Trek jazz. But this is what the Bible says. Jesus Christ is going to return to earth. And when he returns, he takes us up to heaven. It's going to happen fast. And when it happens, we're out of here. But while we wait for that to happen, there's a lot of wrong going on. And there's a lot of injustice. And there's a lot of disease. And it's easy to get disappointed, just like their warriors were in chapter 33 of Isaiah. It's easy to lose and question, why is Jesus holding back from coming back? How bad are things going to get in this world? So it's easy to get disappointed. So enter Isaiah 35. Because Isaiah 35 is just a little bit of good news. By the way, I know sometimes we talk really down about what's happening in our world. And it's rough and it's dark and... But these are the best times to be alive, y'all. This is the best times to be alive because we are at a time when Jesus could return at any moment. We can be the generation that's alive when Jesus comes back. Woo! So this is good news, y'all. 2025 is good news. A lot of joys going on, a lot of bad things, but it's really good news that Jesus is coming. So when he returns, the Bible speaks about what's going to happen. Chapter 35 and verse 1. This is good news for us in 2025. Thirsty deserts, when Jesus returns, will be glad. Barren lands will celebrate and bloom with flowers. Deserts will bloom everywhere and sing joyful songs. They will be majestic as Mount Lebanon, as glorious as Mount Carmel or Sharon Valley. Everyone will see the wonderful splendor of the Lord our God. He's saying the day is coming. They're in the middle of bad times. Remember, the Assyrians are coming. They're devastating the land. But he says, hey, there's a time coming when this barren land is going to become fruitful. When this barren land in Israel is going to become beautiful. And I tell you, when we took a trip over there 3 years ago, me and Sarah, the place looked absolutely colorful and flowers were everywhere, especially from Galilee down to Jerusalem. It was just absolutely magnificent. So I began to read about what has changed in the terrain. Well, they have, I read, cutting edge irrigation. They have water conservation. And the land produces 95% of what the people eat. It's unbelievable. The land over there produces 95% of what the people eat today, and then they export produce all over the world. According to International Christian Embassy in Jerusalem, Israel's domestic food supply outranks both France and the United States. So they eat what they grow. And then they export a whole bunch of stuff. And you would think, man, it's so dry over there. What's he talking about? What's Isaiah the prophet saying that it's going to become fertile land and beautiful? So listen, the land over there produces oranges, tangerines, grapefruits, grapes, avocados, mangoes, bok choy. I don't know what that is. And asparagus and 170,000 tons of bananas a year. So the prophecy that Isaiah said, hey, there's a time coming when the land is going to look really good and it's going to become very productive. We're beginning to see a partial fulfillment of that right now. There's a lot of land out there that is undeveloped, a lot of land that's very dry, but there's a lot of good things going on. So this was partial first fulfilled in our very time. So I want you to write this down, because one day God is going to turn things around for good. See, things are beginning to turn around. There's good happening in Israel. And so, but God's going to turn it all around. And here's the good news of Isaiah 35, verses 3 and 4. He says to his people and to us, give strength to hands that are tired and knees that tremble with weakness. Tell everyone who is discouraged. Well, sometimes we get discouraged, right? He says, tell everyone who is discouraged, be strong and don't be afraid. God is coming to your rescue, coming to punish your enemies. Man, so he's saying, hey, God's good at keeping his promises. Don't give up hope. That's what he's saying here. He said, when you feel like just breaking down, when you feel like, oh, this is not worth it. No, no, no. When you feel like the world is collapsing under your feet, take a deep breath, stop, and understand God is coming your way. God is going to take care of business one day. It's going to happen. So keep your eyes on him and not on everything that's going on around you. That's all he's saying here. There's a good time coming for those who love and follow God. Next verse. When he comes. Now remember, Isaiah wrote this almost 3,000 years ago. When he comes, the Lord, the Messiah, Jesus, he will open the eyes of the blind and unplug the ears of the deaf. Verse 6, the lame will leap like a deer, and those who cannot speak will sing for joy. And we saw that when Jesus came into the world. It was partially fulfilled. He would just unplug the ears of those who couldn't hear. He would loosen the tongues of those who couldn't talk. People were bent over, he straightened them up. People who couldn't walk, Jesus would just get them back to their feet. If they were dead, he brought them back from the dead. And so this that he's writing here is sort of kind of partially fulfilled when Jesus came into the world. Now, what Isaiah is saying is that there is a day coming, not only when God is going to heal people, but the land is going to be healed. The land is going to get producing. And beyond that, and all this stuff brings joy to his people, right? But beyond that, I want you to write this down. Because of the cross, God spiritually heals those who believe in Christ by faith. Praise the Lord. He forgives our sins. He gives us entrance into heaven. He gives us hope forever and ever and ever. For your notes, write this down. You find a new life when you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. He gives you a new life. A new life to enjoy. And part of living this incredible new life that Jesus gives us is that one day we're going to live and reign with Jesus on earth for a 1,000-year reign of peace. Okay? Right now, there's turmoil all around us, but one day, Jesus is going to come to rule this world. He's going to rule from Jerusalem. And for 1,000 years, there's going to be peace. For your notes, write this down. Jesus' 1,000-year reign of peace on earth is called the millennial kingdom of Christ. At that point in time, everyone is going to enjoy the blessings of healing from God, and the land is going to be so productive. One day, Jesus is going to start what is called the millennial kingdom of Christ. Now, you know the sequence of events. The Bible says that right now, it's like all these different prophecies have come together already. Nothing is holding Jesus back from coming other than God wants to see people saved. But we have seen God beginning to piece together little by little the stage for the end of the world. We know it's going to happen, right? So the Bible says that Jesus is going to come and do the Battle of Armageddon. He's going to fight the battle against all the armies of the world there in the Valley of Megiddo in Israel. And the Bible says that after the mother of all battles is over and Jesus wins, God is going to take Satan and he's going to lock him up for 1,000 years in a maximum security prison. Okay? Christian apologist Dr. Henry Morris describes Satan in jail this way. Okay, listen. Somewhere deep in the center of the earth, a prison cell has been reserved in the remotest recesses of the bottomless pit. Located at the very middle of the earth, no one could fall any deeper down. Such a place will be Satan's confine during the millennium, as far removed from human beings as is possible to be on this planet. Not only will he be hurled to the center of the earth, but he will be shut up in his cell with his entrance invisibly sealed so that he cannot even direct his nasty own little demons. I added the word nasty. His own demonic host while so restrained. The 1,000-year reign of peace, Satan is going to be locked up so he cannot deceive and mess with people. The 1,000-year reign of peace of Jesus here on earth is going to be absolutely amazing. It's going to be absolutely amazing. You say, man, I don't want to miss that. I don't want to miss those 1,000 years. You won't. And this is why. Write this down. Even if a believer dies, write the words back to life. Even if a believer dies before Jesus' 1,000-year reign of peace, the Lord will bring you back to life at the resurrection so you can enjoy heaven on this earth. So, you may die before Jesus returns, but before he begins his 1,000-year reign of peace, he will resurrect you from the dead, and he will bring you back, and he will bring me back, so we live with him and reign with him on this earth. Everybody with me so far? Okay. And at the end, check it out, verse 6, we're going back to 35 of Isaiah. And when he comes, he says, we're talking about good news here, springs will gush forth in the wilderness. The parched ground will become a pool. Talk about climate change. God's going to climate change this place. and a great road will go through the once deserted land. It will be named the Highway of Holiness. Evil-minded people will never travel on it. It will be only for those who walk in God's ways. Fools will never walk on it. Lions, verse 9, check this out. Lions will not lurk along its course, nor any other ferocious beast. There will be no dangers. Wow. No dangers from animals. Animals killing each other. Animals wanting to kill us or people, right? The Bible says that when Jesus comes into this world, the curse will be lifted. The world is under a curse right now. The curse will be lifted, and animals will live in peace. They're not going to bite. They're not going to scare you. Listen, if you live in Florida in the thousand-year reign of peace, and you're by a lake, and an 11-foot gator comes out of the water, if that happened today, you'd be running like a schoolgirl and screaming. But in the days of peace for Jesus, a thousand-year reign of peace, if a gator comes out of the water, you're sitting right there by a lake, he's just going to get on your lap so you can rub his belly, man. It's just going to be that kind of a thing, okay? There's not going to be any kind of, like, aggression. There's not going to be any wars. There's going to be peace everywhere for a thousand years when we're with the Lord, right? Verse 10, those who have been ransomed, talking about the Jews, not talking about us, by the Lord will return. They will enter Jerusalem singing, crowned with everlasting joy. Sorrow and mourning will disappear, and they will be filled with joy and gladness. Doesn't that sound good? The Bible says that one day during those thousand years, the wolf will live together with the lamb. Wolves eat lambs. But in the days of when Jesus reigns on earth, they will live together. And the Bible says in the book of, you can read it later in the book of Isaiah chapter 11, a child will be playing right next to the hole of where the cobra lives. Or a child will put his hand in the nest of a bad, what we call today poisonous snakes, but he will not be hurt. In fact, the Bible says that a child is going to lead a parade of these ferocious animals, because when Jesus reigns on earth, there will be peace. And we're going to enjoy it. And it's going to be absolutely awesome. So three thoughts came to mind while I was thinking about all this, just to kind of get us propped up for 2025, good news, Jesus is coming. Number one, remember that God's eternity looks really good. God's eternity looks real good. The world today may be in shambles, but God's eternity looks amazing. Listen, there may be difficulties right now, but the Bible says that what we go through right now is absolutely nothing compared to the glory that's awaiting for us one day. It's tough times. Sometimes we cry. Sometimes we're brokenhearted. Sometimes we feel like we're between a hard place and a rock. Sometimes we feel like we've come to a dead end in our lives. But I want to tell you, according to the Bible, what we go through here is just absolutely nothing compared to the goodness of what we're going to be experiencing one day. And you know what? The Bible doesn't give us a lot of details about heaven. He just gives us a little tidbit here and there, a little hint of how it's going to be. We're just scratching the surface here. Man, when we get to heaven, when we get into the thousand-year reign of peace, it's just going to be good. And this is what the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 2:9. This is what the Bible says. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Listen, knowing Christ right now is absolutely amazing. It's something you never dreamed would happen to you, and a blessedness of God. You never dreamed you'd be blessed this way from God. You never dreamed it. You never thought of it, but you gave your heart to Christ, and Jesus came into your life, and he began to bless you, and he began to take care of you, and he began to answer your prayers. Boy, you never thought about that. So yeah, this refers to today, but even tomorrow is going to be greater than that. The things you read about in heaven should scramble your cerebellum and, you know, just chicken fry your medulla oblongata. You're just reading these things here, you're like, wow, can this be? How wonderful life is going to be when Jesus returns to earth. You got to keep it in mind, but we don't know what's going to happen in 2024, 2025. We don't know what's coming, but we know someone who's coming. In the book of Micah chapter 4, the second part of verse 4. Now, he's talking to the Israelites, but God has added his church to his promises. He says to the Israelites in Micah 4:4, there will be nothing to fear in those days. There will be nothing to fear in those days. Okay? The Lord of heaven's armies has made this promise, and God does deliver on promises. If you watch TV any, you've seen commercials of children in hospitals, you know, going through cancer, and they're just heartbreaking commercials. I want to tell you, in heaven there are no hospitals. In heaven there are no cemeteries. In heaven there is not going to be any sickness. You know, sometimes you see commercials of people being poor and hungry, and they're asking you to give money to the disabled. None of that is going to happen in heaven. None of that is going to be in heaven. Sometimes you see commercials of people abusing animals, and they're cold, the animals, and they need help. There's not going to be any of that in heaven, because in heaven, God is going to make all things well, all things good. It's just going to be good times from beginning to the end. You got to keep in mind that what God makes, he makes absolutely amazing. God don't make no junk. So watch you go through 2025, and as I go through 2025, not wondering what's going to happen, not knowing what's going to happen, wondering what's going to happen, you got to keep your eyes. I got to keep my eyes on the fact that Jesus is coming and that he has a place prepared for us that is going to be amazing. And then when he rules here on earth, man. What a fantastic place this is going to be. Number two. We're talking about good news here. Let your imagination, y'all, let your imagination run wild about what you're going to be doing in heaven. If you think of heaven as sitting on a cloud playing a harp, you just got it wrong from beginning to end. Just not going to be that way. You know, the Bible says, for your knowledge, Jesus promised to give each one of us responsibilities in the age to come based on our faithfulness to him right now. Jesus promised to give you responsibilities in the age to come based on your faithfulness to him right now. We don't know what all those responsibilities are going to be. We can go into different places in the Bible. We're just not going to take the time to do that right now. But I wonder if God's going to give me a little job somewhere in the Greek Isles. I wonder if God's going to give me something to do, or give you something to do somewhere, you know, some pretty mountain somewhere. Write this down for me, please. Living for heaven, in your notes. You're living for heaven right now. You're living for heaven right now. God is going to reward you. One day, you're going to meet Jesus. You're going to say, hey, well done, good and faithful servant. Hey, you served me in a little thing. I'm going to reward you in a great big way. Some people, Christians, some people say it's not going to be like that, my brother. Heaven is not going to be like that. I'm always amazed at how people can be so dogmatic about something they know so little about. You can think the way you want about heaven. If you want to make it dull the way you're thinking, then more power to you, y'all. The Bible describes heaven as being an absolutely amazing place for those who believe. And you got to look forward to that. Look at what happened when Paul was given a little tour of heaven. The Bible says this, I was caught up to paradise, Paul says. In the book of 2 Corinthians 12, verse 4, Paul says, I was caught up to paradise. Paradise is a Persian word. It's a Persian word that described a part that was fit for a king, okay? A part that was beautifully manicured, luxurious, animals around. What do you do at a park? Yeah, a picnic at a park. You play frisbee at a park. If you know how to throw a frisbee, you play frisbee at a park. You can play catch at a park. You can just have a hangout time, cool, relaxing, awesome. Paul says, when I saw my vision of heaven, It was like a park, a luxurious manicured park, a paradise, he called it. By the way, it's the same word that Jesus used when he was on the cross, right? It's what Jesus said to the thief on the cross. Hey, today you will be with me in paradise. You confess that I am Lord today. You're going to be with me in this beautiful, walled-in, amazing place. And Paul says, and I heard things so astounding. The word for listening there, I heard, is listening with the purpose of understanding. Paul said, I heard things. I was listening. I was trying to understand. I was given a tour of heaven, so I listened really carefully to see if I could understand everything that was going on up there. So he said, I heard things so astounding that they cannot be expressed in words, things no human is allowed to tell. Man, it's beyond what he could understand, beyond what he could imagine. Heaven is that good. We try to explain it. I try to explain it the best way I know how. I always love watching Mary Poppins with my little girls when they were growing up. And you remember in the story when the old Mary Poppins, I never saw the new one, the new Mary Poppins, the old Mary Poppins, they go into they're walking in the park and they go into a picture that the guy's drawing, and over there they have dancing penguins that are serving them stuff, and over there in that park they're on merry-go-rounds, and then the merry-go-round takes off and the horse takes off on its own down through the greenery and then joins a horse race. Remember that? And there's a band playing, and come on, people. Come on. You remember that, right? You remember that. And then Mary Poppins would say, oh, it's time for cakes and tea. And I always imagine heaven to be like that. Oh, we're going to worship Jesus. There's no doubt about that. And we're going to be with family. But beyond that, get ready for what's coming. You know, there's one word that I think the reason why God chooses not to give us details about what happened. Paul saw details. He said, I can't write them down. I can't express them. It's just beyond my understanding. Just way too good. There's one word for your notes, and that word is anticipation. Anticipation. The reason God gives us barely any details of how awesome heaven is anticipation. I'm glad he gave us all the details, because who can dream about it? Unless you're a grump and then you decide, it's not going to be any good. Oh, whatever, your problem, man. You know, anticipate. It's like Christmas. Christmas morning. What did I get? It's like Three Kings Day, which happens tomorrow. In the islands of the Caribbean. What are kids going to wake up? What I get? The anticipation, right? Anticipation. We're anticipating what God is going to do next. When we get out of here and go up there, or when we enjoy a 1,000-year reign of peace here. People love fishing. Some people love fishing. Will there be fishing in heaven? I say, why not? I told you my New Testament professor, who was a scholar in Greek, he would sometimes stop class and say, let me tell you about fishing. We'd be ready to take notes as fast as we could, and then he would close his book and he would say, I want to talk to you about my fishing trip last week. And we'd be like, praise the Lord. We'd close all our notes and we'd be like, talk to us about your fishing trip. And then we'd start asking questions, and he would say, I believe I'm going to be bass fishing in heaven. He was dead serious, too. What are we going to do in heaven? Maybe some bass fishing. Are there going to be any exploration? Probably. We're going to be explore God's world. That's why probably the gates in heaven are constantly open. I mean, you make your interpretation as you want. I'm just going to teach you what I think God's taught me. Heaven is going to be absolutely amazing, anticipated. Number three, we're talking about 2025, how we're going to handle whatever comes. And next week, we're going to talk about crisis times, how Hezekiah handled the crisis time. of the Assyrians coming. Hey, there's going to be times in our lives maybe that you feel like the Assyrians are coming your way in 2025, maybe. How are you going to handle it? But for right now, let's just stay positive. Hey, listen, God is coming. It's going to be an amazing place. And then we need to, 2025, we just need to be thankful often, daily, for all that God is doing for you. Be thankful to God for what he's doing. I think sometimes we forget that he's doing a lot and we don't recognize him at all. Sometimes we forget the goodness of what he's done. Or sometimes we just decide to be oblivious to it completely. That he's taking, we take God for granted. No, listen. Thank God for his blessing. Thank God for his favor. I close with this story. Weird. Dorian and I are going into Winn-Dixie yesterday. Sun is shining, late in the morning. I'm walking in, she's already in front of me, Doreen is, and there's a lady behind me. She's like a senior, right? She's like a young senior. She says, excuse me, as I'm walking into Winn-Dixie. She said, are you wearing a wig? Me. She said, excuse me, are you wearing a wig? I said, no. She said, your hair is so beautiful. Like, thank you. She said, did you just get a haircut? I'm like, no, ma'am. She said, it shines in the sun. That's what she said. It glistens. Then she looked at Doreen and she said, can I touch it? Doreen said, go ahead. And she started petting me like a dog. I want, you know, that's what a dog feels like as this lady's petting me. Just literally like this. Oh my. I'm getting goosebumps. Oh my. Oh my. Wow. I never realized I have beautiful glistening hair. And I asked Doreen, I said, Doreen, does my hair glisten in the sun? She said, yes. Well, what a joy. Yeah, I've always complained about my white hair, you know, I'm getting old, but this lady brought a new perspective into my life. God's blessed me with beautiful hair. I'm serious. Like, thank you, God. And in fact, I turned to the lady and said, God bless you. Listen, God has blessed you with whatever you got. Whoever you are, God's favored you. God has poured all his goodness on you because he loves you. But we seldom ever recognize him for it. And I think this year, 2025, what you want to do, what I want to do, is be thankful. Thankful to God. Not only for what he's done in our lives, but for what he's planning on doing. Because what's coming is big. It's big. So we're starting 2025. Who knows what's coming? But Jesus is coming. And he said, I'm going to take you so you can be with me. And I'm going to one day bring you down to earth again so you can enjoy life on earth like you've never had it before. What a great God we serve.
That's how we need to look at 2025. Jesus loves me. He loves you. And he has great plans that are going to come to pass. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Right now, you're sitting here. Maybe you're watching me on Facebook, wherever you are. I want to ask a question. Are you ready for Jesus to come? Have you given your heart to Jesus Christ? If you've never done that, this is what you do. In your heart, you pray that Jesus will forgive you. God will forgive you of your sins. And you turn your life over to Jesus. You open your heart to God. And you give him your heart and you commit your life to God. He is here right now. He'll listen to you, your prayer, and Jesus will come inside your heart and save your soul as you commit your life to him. You say, what do I say? It's not a big secret about this. It's not a big deal. What you do is you open your heart to Christ. So if you like to ask Jesus Christ to come inside your heart and save your soul right now, you tell him something like this. Lord Jesus, I am sorry for my sins. Please forgive me. I done wrong. I thank you for loving me the way you do. Thank you, Jesus, that you came into this world and you died on a cross and you rose from the grave and you're coming back. Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come inside my heart, be my Savior. And I'm going to do my best to follow you. I commit my life to you right now. Help me. Help me live for you. With every eye closed, nobody looking around. Listen, if you pray something like this, first time ever, you pray something like this, you ask Jesus in your heart, I just want you to raise your hand because I want to pray for you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to come down the aisle here, but I'm going to pray for you. So anyone here, you say, man, I just asked Jesus in my heart for the first time. Pray for me, bro. Will you? Anybody here? You say, I just asked Jesus in my heart for the first time. Just raise your hand, put it back down. Just the only one looking. Maybe somebody on Facebook, maybe you just ask Jesus in your heart for the first time. I want to tell you, it's the best decision you'll ever make, man. And Jesus will be with you forever and ever and ever. God, thank you for being such a great God of mercy. Thank you for this little pictures of heaven that we get in the Bible. The world is a mess. But we can't wait one day for you to return and for us to come enjoy life for a 1,000-year reign of peace down here. Thank you for your promises, God. Thank you for your love for us. You're absolutely awesome. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Thank you so much for watching.